So the title of my sermon this morning is Go, Wake Up, Sound the Alarm and Make Disciples. This year across the East Gateway Hub, the preaching theme is Go. Barking, Ashendon and Rayleigh Elim are all celebrating 100 years. It's our intention to go and evangelise in our communities, our homes, our workplaces. But aside from evangelism, our preaching will also cover topics like go and love, go and serve, go and pray. As we step into the message this morning, I want us to be reminded of the great task that we have, that Jesus has entrusted to all of his followers. It's a mission that's not confined to the early church, but a mission that is part of our calling today, simply to go. Jesus' words in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all the nations. Those are words that echo throughout the centuries, urging us to action. The gospel is not a message for us to keep to ourselves. We're not meant to whisper it in secret. We are meant to proclaim it loudly to all that we meet. The gospel is something that demands proclamation. It's a life-saving alarm for a world that is in spiritual danger and decline. There's a preacher, Dr. Michael Brown, and he once said, far too many preachers today are playing a lullaby when they need to be sounding an alarm. Speaking about the love of God, the love of Jesus is important. But in order for people to understand why they need a saviour, they need to understand what it is that they are to be saved from. We need to tell people the truth. We need to tell people that there is life eternal when they repent and accept Jesus as Lord and saviour. And friends, you and I have been given the call to go and share the truth. While making disciples, while demonstrating God's love to a broken and fallen world, we are meant to be salt. We're meant to be light. We're meant to speak truth into the darkness. But do we all recognize the urgency? Do we all understand that we need to faithfully proclaim God's word, not just by how we live, but actually by speaking words to other people? For us to respond to the gospel, we need action and we need obedience. We need to do what God has called us to do. Now, maybe that's difficult in the 21st century. Maybe it's hard for us to step out in faith. But that is what God has called us to do. And he's promised that we will not be doing it on our own, that he will never leave us or forsake us. And when we allow God to work in us and through us, miracles can happen when God is at work. We need to trust that this year God will give the increase. We need to trust that this year there will be many that come to know Jesus for the first time as their Lord and their Saviour. First point, recognising the need to sound the alarm. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 6 and 7. God says, but if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. Now, son of man, I am making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. The role of the watchman was crucial. To observe, to sound the alarm when danger approached. There are many in the world today that do not understand the danger that they are in, the eternal danger that they are in. Rejecting God now means rejecting God for eternity. Accepting God now, accepting Jesus as Lord and Saviour, means an eternity with God. In his presence, knowing his love, being amazed by him for eternity. Spiritually speaking, we are called to be watchmen in this world. And Paul echoes this responsibility in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. For I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. There are many in this world today that preach an incomplete gospel. There are many in this world today that preach a gospel that is far different from what the Bible actually teaches. Friends, we've been called to be beacons of truth, to understand the word, to share the word with everyone that we meet. I mean, can you imagine a firefighter arriving at a burning building and then hesitating to go inside because if he went to rescue people and he told them that the building was burning, they might get upset. We are in a similar situation. It sounds absurd that a fireman wouldn't tell someone that a building was on fire, but that's what we sometimes do when it comes to the gospel. If we mention Jesus, if we mention God, if we mention the Bible, there are many Christians that do not stand and defend what the Word of God actually says. I was watching a couple of things on YouTube yesterday about famous Christian singers who do not uphold biblical truth when they're given an opportunity. They were asked some very simple questions that are very clear from the Word of God, what it is that God has said about certain things. Yet they danced around the edges. And both of them actually came to the conclusion and said that other people should read the Bible to discover what it says so that the other people can tell these Christians what God actually says. They missed an opportunity to speak truth. Maybe they were worried that their popularity would decline. Maybe they were worried that they wouldn't sell as many records if people knew that they actually believed what the Word of God said. Because the Bible, the gospel, the truth can cause offence. But worrying about offending someone should not keep us silent. There are lives that are at stake, eternal lives that are at stake. And we need to speak truth so that people can be rescued. The author John Piper reminds us, eternity hangs in the balance every time we preach or share the gospel. You're either in Christ or not. There's no sitting on the fence. You either trust God as true, that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Saviour, or you don't. You're either in Christ or outside of him. And friends, we as faithful watchmen need to be unafraid to share the truth so that people understand for themselves. But second point, we proclaim the truth with love. Paul's charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 4 was this. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. We're called to proclaim the truth boldly. We're called to proclaim it with love. We're called to actually go and speak to this world that would rather be entertained than told truth. Proverbs 27:6 reminds us, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Truth spoken in love may hurt, but ultimately it heals. Telling people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life might be hard to do, but it's something that we must do. Think of a sculptor shaping a piece of marble. Each strike of the hammer on the chisel may seem harsh, but to a skilled sculptor, the result is a masterpiece. And friends, God's word shapes us in the same way. Sometimes we are faced with uncomfortable truths. Sometimes it feels like the hammer is hitting the chisel a little harder. But God is transforming us. God is changing us. God is conforming us to his likeness, to his purpose. Preacher and author Francis Chan put it this way. True love doesn't hide the truth. It proclaims it boldly, knowing it is the only thing that can truly set us free. Friends, we need to proclaim God's truth. We need to proclaim it with courage. We need to proclaim it with compassion. It's not about winning arguments. It's about winning souls. It's not about being eloquent in our speech. It's about sharing the truth in love. Third point, responding to the call. We as believers need to respond with repentance and with faith. The prophet Joel calls out in Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Repentance is not just an outward act. It's not just outward appearance. Repentance is a heartfelt turning back to God, recognizing that we've done wrong, recognizing that we have not been the people that God has called us to be. From the heart, we must turn back to the Lord and actually respond to what he is commanding us to do. Jesus declared in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, "The time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." The gospel alarm, it's not just a warning, it's an invitation. And we must willingly confess, because we are still sinful, and we do still get it wrong. And we ourselves need to turn from anything that is wrong in God's sight. And once again, fully place our faith in Jesus. And that is the message that we need to share with others, that they need Jesus in their lives too. Not just a prophet, not just someone who said wise things, the Son of God, the Saviour. People need to be in a relationship with him. And friends, the Great Commission, it calls us to respond by making disciples, by building the kingdom. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus commands, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Making disciples, it sounds difficult, but it's simply just helping other people, leading them in their relationship with Jesus, helping them to grow, helping them to know, helping them to draw closer to God, and then encouraging them to go and make more disciples. Part of being a disciple is having that transformative relationship with Christ. Being a disciple, it's not about being another number. It's about being nurtured in faith and obedience, walking in God's ways, proclaiming his love, his mercy and his grace, and sharing the truth. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, "All scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right." Friends, are you willing to be obedient to the word of God? Are you willing to be obedient to the commands of God? Are you willing to do what is right in God's sight? Or are you just doing what the world says is okay and acceptable? Discipleship is a lifelong process. We must be committed to learning. We must be committed to living. We must be committed to growing, to understanding more about our Lord and our Saviour, the one who sacrificed everything for us. We need to be willing to tell others about him. In conclusion, the promise of his presence. Jesus concludes his command with a promise, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." No matter what challenge we might face in proclaiming the gospel or in making disciples, we are not alone. The presence of God empowers us. It sustains us. It helps us. Friends, today the alarm has been sounded. Don't hit the snooze button and go back to sleep. Take up your calling as a spiritual watchman. Proclaim God's truth boldly and lovingly. Respond by making disciples, teaching obedience, and living faithfully. To those who have not yet placed their faith in Jesus, the invitation is clear. Jesus offers forgiveness. He offers love. He offers eternal life to all who will repent and believe in him. How will you respond to his call on your life? Friends, when we leave this place today, let's go forth with urgency and with purpose. Like Isaiah, may we be willing to say, "Here I am, send me." Friends, the alarm has been sounded. It is time to go. As we conclude our time together, we come to the Lord's table. It's a sacred moment to reflect on the message that we've heard. Communion reminds us of the gospel, the very truth that we are called to proclaim. It's a time to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, who gave his life so that we might have forgiveness, so that we might have eternal life, so that we might be forgiven of our sins. Communion is an opportunity for us as believers to examine our hearts, to remember Christ's sacrifice for us. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, the table is open to you. If you've not yet made that decision, I encourage you to take time to reflect on God's love and consider responding to his call to trust him, to believe in him, to accept him as Lord and Saviour. Perhaps we could just prepare our hearts by taking a moment of silence, confessing our sins to our Lord, and thanking God for his mercy and his grace. Lord, as we bow our heads before you, we're thankful for everything that you have done in our lives. We know that we're not perfect. We know that we still stumble and fall. But I thank you that in your love, in your mercy, and in your grace, you call us back to you time after time after time. And Lord, you paid the ultimate price for us. You were willing to sacrifice yourself there on that cross, to die a criminal's death in our place. You bore the punishment that we could not bear on our own. You paid the penalty for our sin. And I thank you, Lord, that though you died on that cross, you rose again triumphant. And that for all who believe and trust in you, there's an assurance of forgiveness of sins and eternal life as we're adopted into your family, as we're made new. And day by day, you continue to work in us and through us. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to walk with you. Help us to share the truth of who you are with others. And as we come to this table once again, be thankful for all that you have done to set us free from the burden of our sin. Thank you that your body was broken for us. Thank you that your blood was shed. Pray, Lord, that we would be worthy to eat and worthy to proclaim the truth, the gospel of our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and simply broke it and gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." And in the same way, after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with his blood. Do this to remember him as often as we drink it. For every time we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." We'll eat the bread as we receive it, but we'll retain the cup to drink together, to show our unity in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The bread was the symbol of his body broken in our place. He bore our wounds. He bore our suffering. He achieved what we could never do in our own merit. In his brokenness, we're made whole. In his death and life, we're set free. And his blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. One sacrifice once for all who will believe. In him we have life and life eternal. Let's drink and praise him together. Lord, I thank you that at the cross you paid the price for our healing and for our wholeness. I think, Lord, of those who are unwell, and I ask, Lord, that you will bring healing and wholeness to them. May we rejoice together, Lord, knowing that once again you've worked another miracle. That once again, Lord, that you have brought wholeness. And I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that knows you and that loves you. May they experience your presence and know your touch in this new year. And may each of us be willing to proclaim the truth of the gospel to everyone that we meet. Father, I ask that you would look into our hearts right now, Lord. And for those people that we are naming before you that need a touch from you, that, Lord, you will move and that you will move in power. I ask, Lord, that you would bring relief to those that need it, release from burdens, and Lord, in each and every one, a renewed faith, a trust in you as Lord and as Saviour. Thank you for speaking to us today, dear Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. May we apply it to our lives, and may we always be thankful for your sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go into 2025, may God go before you. In everything that you do and everything that you say, may he lead and order your steps. May you be a beacon of hope to those that are hopeless. May you speak words of life. May you speak words of truth. And may we know God's presence with us as we go and share the truth in love.